We're back. The Goat House Podcast is back, ladies and gentlemen. We had a wild couple weeks with free agency. We had some crazy trade ups in the and back, trade up and back and up. If we're referring to the Dolphins, when it comes to the NFL draft, I got Dan and Pete with me. I wanted to get there. You guys heard all my thoughts on free agency and all these moves, the trades that happened, but. So I want to get a lot of their thoughts, but first I just really want to talk about what the hell the 49ers are going to do with the third pick. They trade up and everyone's like, it's Trey Lance. It's got to be Trey Lance. And this last week, you kind of got the feeling, even right now, you kind of got the feeling that it's Mac Jones, where you're just really getting that feeling, you know, people talking about that they view him as the best fit. He's similar to the style quarterback that Shanahan always liked, had playing quarterback. Talking about Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo. So it could be Mac Jones. You know, the fact that he went to Mac Jones pro. Shanahan isn't a pro day guy, first off. He's not a big pro day guy. He doesn't go to pro days. He goes to Mac Jones pro day and not on the same day as Justin Fields. Not Justin Fields, but they do end up agreeing to have a workout with Justin Fields in the future. But I thought all that was interesting. I need to stop talking. Let you guys talk. What do you think they're gonna do? What do you think they should do? You can answer both. You can answer either. Let's hear it.
Well,
Dan, go ahead.
Peter.
No, go ahead.
Well, I really got nothing. I'm listening at this point. I'm listening.
He's a listener.
Listen.
I don't know what to expect. I like Mac Jones because I think he's going to drop down to 20, but maybe they're playing some 4D chess with the Bears because, you know, the Bears like to trade up and we'll offer.
With the Niners. They like to trade up with the Niners.
Exactly right. We've been fleeced by them once.
So the Niners traded from 12 to 3 only to trade back to 20.
And then they get all of them.
All of them. I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, what's going to be interesting is just there's a lot of one day it's Trey Lance, the next day it's Justin Fields, the next day it's Mac Jones. It's just all – it's going to be like this until – we hit draft day, so it's going to be interesting. But, I mean, I think Shanahan, I don't know if he ever really chose Jimmy Garoppolo as his quarterback. And we heard the rumors all these years about them wanting to get Kirk Cousins. So I feel like he just had that, him and John Lynch just decided, like, this team's good enough. Like, we're going to trade up. We're going to throw a bunch of first-rounders out there to get the guy that we really want to get. And they must have. I mean, they must know Zach Wilson's going to go, and obviously Trevor Lawrence is going to go. So they must know, like, they're going to get their guy for sure, and who they're really high on. We just don't know who it's going to be.
Do you know that the Jets are going to be going with Zach Wilson now? Do you know that for a fact?
Not, but I'm pretty sure on it.
Thought the Niners were getting Deshaun Watson, though, so I don't know if we can trust
Peter. I feel like they would have if they just, like, I mean, you saw what they just traded for the third pick. I feel like they were all in on getting a quarterback, but all the stuff that's going on with Deshaun Watson right now is not great, so.
Not great. I feel like the Panthers are still in the mix, though. I think they would still do it.
I feel like they're just waiting a little bit to see what happens, but I feel like no one's going to be trading from.
You can't trade for the guy and not know what's, you know, five more women step forward and you just traded your entire future for him.
Yeah, wouldn't be good. I think with this Niner situation trading up to 3, you know, I don't know if Fields has really been brought up. I think fans that maybe want Fields or think he's QB3 after Lawrence or Wilson have brought him up, but it's pretty much Lance and Mac Jones. It was Lance at first. Now it's Mac Jones. Some out there still say Lance, and they're going off pure fit. And I got two problems with this.
What's your problems, man?
I got two problems here. Number one is, I mean, I've said this in the past too. I think a big problem with drafting, specifically drafting quarterbacks, is teams are picking the system. They're picking the system quarterback. They're not picking the player. They're picking the system. Like, Patrick Mahomes is the system. Tom Brady was and is. I mean, he shows up in Tampa Bay. They win a Super Bowl year one. They're not getting a guy that fits their system, passing on the best guys, just to go for the guy that fits the system. But it makes no sense. That's how you pass on these Patrick Mahomes, you know, these best players. And I've said this for a long time. And people have disagree with me on whenever I said that on YouTube. You know, they think they have to – why would you pick a guy that doesn't fit, you know? But, and, you know, maybe that's a problem with coaching. You know, there's these coaches that only run, you know, they're so strict on what they run. Maybe that's a problem. You know, a guy like Andy Reid is able to mix it up throughout his whole career, gets Patrick Mahomes, and they kind of adjust to what Patrick Mahomes does. That makes sense, you know. They trade up for that guy for that reason because he's special. You know, if the 49ers take Mac Jones, and this is going to sound like I'm one of those, because there's a good group of people that are anti-Mac Jones, like shouldn't go. There's people that think he shouldn't go early first, and they got those group of people that think he shouldn't go mid first, and there's group of people that think he shouldn't go first at all. I'm not one of those people. I think he's pretty talented, but there are four better quarterbacks in this class. You know, so I, if they take Mac Jones, if they traded all that away to take Mac Jones at three, I think it's going to look pretty bad, and you're going to look back at history and see when teams chose the system, you know, the prototype, I should say. The system and the prototype, you know, the type of quarterback over the best quarterback, it's pretty much always failed. You know, I can't tell you a time where it's worked out, you know. So I think that would be a mistake, even though, I think Mac Jones can be good. I think he could be good on the 49ers. I think he could be solid. I'm not saying he's going to be a bust. I'm not, you know, I'm not kind of, I didn't really grade it, but in a way I kind of just graded it, you know, not liking it. I don't think it's going to be, I wouldn't be grading the player in that scenario. I'd be grading the pick, you know, if that makes sense. I think there are better options. I think there'll be, they're basically putting Shanahan at quarterback. You know, they're choosing Shanahan over the best style player. So I have a problem with that. I've always had a problem with that. Even if it's a good quarterback like Mac Jones, you're passing on a guy that's just better. Because, and I don't know if they're going to do that. I'm not sure if they're, I'm starting to think they're not going to do that. And that kind of brings into my second problem. Everyone's saying that Trey Lance is the phenomenal fit. They got to be going him. You know, and then the other one was Mac Jones is a good fit because he's kind of that prototype. He's that same style quarterback as Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, etc. You know, I got a problem with that. I think one person said each of those things and everyone kind of jumped on. Sure, they are fits, but why the hell is Justin Fields not a fit? Like, who decided that those guys are more of a fit than Justin Fields? I think that's bullshit, to be honest. You know, I think Justin Fields could he can run that offense and better. I mean, he's proven he can run that offense. You know, with a lot of, there's a lot of play action. There's a lot, you know, bootleg. I think, you know, if you're going to go with that Shanahan bootleg, you know, you got to have a quarterback that can run those bootlegs. I think, you know, Fields is better than Mac Jones, in my opinion. Mac Jones had success in every type of pass, I suppose. But he was, I mean, his big time plays came from a lot of RPO, which he was damn good at it, but Shanahan's not running any of that. And yes, Mac Jones can run play action. Trey Lance is kind of known as a play action guy, but you know, when you bootleg, when you get the quarterback on the rollout, you know, you want him to throw first, or Shanahan wants that guy to throw first. Trey Lance, I do think he's a pass first quarterback in general, but he could be, you know, he's never been a running quarterback guy, Shanahan, that is. Does he want the guy that's going to go out there and possibly look to run first? It's kind of up in the air. You know, Fields, even though he's a 4-4 guy, he is 100% a pass-first guy. You know, he's going to get out there, and he's going to want to throw the ball downfield. And I think he goes through that play so quick. The footwork so quick. He gets out outside the pocket that quick and makes that play. You know, for some reason, though, those, you know, the big draft guys, the so-called experts, they're feeding us that Lance and Mac Jones are the best fits, and they are really good. They're a good fit. All these guys are good fits, but they're making it seem like Fields is not a fit, and that is false. I could argue Fields is more of a fit than those guys. So those are my big two problems. So basically, I think they should pick Fields third overall because he's my third best quarterback in the class, and I think he's a phenomenal fit. You trade all that. And on top of that, I mean, look at the quarterbacks that have recently succeeded. You know, they're all freaks in a way, you know. You know, the guys that weren't freaky in terms of the arm strength and the athleticism, they haven't really worked out. You know, the guys that are just absolutely just, you know, obvious crazy talents, you know, like a Justin Fields, they've had success. So that's just another small reason there to add in there. But
didn't Mac Jones not have, like, that good of a pro day too? I mean, I just saw the one clip where he overthrew receiver and Belichick was shaking his head.
Yeah. I mean, he was. I don't think it was a bad pro day. I don't think it was a good pro day. It was just kind of a pro day. You know, it's kind of just hit or miss. It's just so hard to tell because you're throwing against no defense, wide open receiver. You kind of expect those guys to hit every single throw, but they never do. Justin Fields, I thought, probably had the best pro day between him and Wilson, I suppose, but they're all in the same range. I don't think a pro day should really change it. Like, if you have a firm grade on a guy after watching the season and watching tape, same thing, I suppose. You know, is it going to change because he missed or hit some throws in a pro day? You know, I think the pro days for me, talking to the guy, interviewing him weighing in, measuring in, and if something's way off there, you know, then there's a problem, I suppose. But and that maybe that's a good argument on why it might not be Justin Fields, because when they made the trade, when they made that trade, they didn't talk to Justin Fields yet. You know, they didn't have that future meeting set up yet. He didn't have his pro day yet. They saw Lance. They already saw Mac Jones. Shanahan didn't see anybody in person yet, though, at that point. Then after that, they quickly saw Mac Jones in person. So that would be the reason where if people are saying it's not Fields, that's logical. You know, if that is your reason, but because he doesn't fit and the other guys are way better fits, I'm not agreeing with that. And again, those other guys are fits, but you know, I just don't agree that Fields is less of a fit than those guys. It just doesn't make sense to me. So yeah, it's gonna be. That's where the draft starts. I mean, people say two because what if the Jets are all in on Darnold? I just don't know how that could be. And then the Falcons at four. I get you guys' take on this too. The Falcons at four. You know, I think the draft world split on this. I think half the world thinks they got to go quarterback. You know, if a good one's there, which pick four is a shot. You know, what if a guy like Fields is there? Maybe Lance, whatever. You know, they got to take him maybe because Matt Ryan is declining, not rapidly, and you do have to worry about the future because when are the Falcons going to be picking four again? You know, when are they going to be picking four? When are they going to have a chance to get, you know, usually a quarterback like Justin Fields is first overall pick. You know, what if he's there? You know, here's a chance. But then the other half doesn't want them to get a quarterback because, I mean, this team could win now. It's got a pretty good offense. Matt Ryan can still win. They need help on defense. So if you do get a quarterback, you know, he's not helping right now, whether you get somebody else, and it's helping. So you definitely can argue both sides. You definitely can understand both sides. But it's definitely it gets to be a heated debate, I think. You know, there's a lot. I think it's mainly Falcons fans, but there's definitely fans that aren't, you know, in that fan base that really are strongly against taking that quarterback right now. So it's definitely interesting. I will mention that Arthur Smith and some people from that front office have been at those pro days of those quarterbacks. So they've been taking a damn close look, we'll say. But you guys have any thoughts on what they should do? It's almost impossible to predict at this point what they will do. Everyone has about the same idea as the next guy. But maybe your thoughts on what they should do.
I don't know. I mean, I like Matt Ryan. I just is he going to be there the next couple of years? I don't know how to answer that. Is there going to be somebody else that's going to be there? Because you do have some really good. You have good linemen up there. You have good wide receivers. Like, you can get a lot without having to go to quarterback and give one more year to Matt Ryan. So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know, does anyone know what his contract looks like right now?
They're still counting this year. I believe it's 3 years. They restructured too. So they, I want to see the actual, let's see if there's an update on the actual restructure and how, because restructure is not pay cuts. It pushes money back. So you have more cap hits in the future. So that almost makes it seem like they're kind of stuck with them. I want to see if there's an update cap hit. Yeah, like I said, 2021, 2022, 2023. So 3 years total, counting this upcoming year. I'd say they're locked into him. I mean, they're definitely going to give him a go, obviously this year and next year, based on the contract. If it's not working out, he could be done after two more years. So basically, it's a 2 to 3 year deal. Technically, it's a 3 year deal, but it could be over after the 2 years if they decide they could save some money by cutting him. So that makes it interesting too. That knowing that it could be a two, you know, if their plan is for it to be only two more years, yeah, they definitely probably will take one right now. So it just depends on their thoughts on Matt Ryan, Arthur Smith's thoughts on Matt Ryan. I think the offense is going to be a lot better this year. I think they got a better coaching staff. I think they're going to simplify things for Matt Ryan. They're going to want to run the ball more. They do need to get a running back. They got Mike Davis, but you probably got to get a better running back in there. You know, coming from Derrick Henry for Arthur Smith to Mike Davis. But they're going to run some more play action. You know, my problem, yeah, Matt Ryan, that's where he's declining. I think, you know, he wasn't really a guy that was going to avoid pressure, move out of the pockets, roll out a whole bunch as it was, and now it's completely just gone. You know, usually when guys decline about his age, it's usually like arm strength, but it's just his arm strength is perfectly fine. His arm talent is perfectly fine right now. He's processing a little slower, but it's mainly he cannot escape anything. He can't move. He really can't move right now, it feels like. So, and you know, he could fit Arthur Smith's scheme, but if he wants a guy like Ryan Tannehill, Ryan Tannehill ran a play action pretty well, bootleg pretty well. You know, they even started to throw in some read options in there, not too often, but kind of benefited from having Tannehill get the hell out of the pocket and kind of throw on the mover as he's opening his body, opening his hips. Is Matt Ryan going to be able to do it? He could do it. You know, he can do it, but maybe they want a little more athletic guy, so that's another reason why they could take a quarterback. I just don't know what they got planned. The Niners and the Falcons, definitely the mystery.
Yeah,
I mean,
always interesting.
It changes the whole draft, so you can predict all we want for who they're going to take, and somebody's going to take somebody that we're not expecting, and then that's going to shake up the whole thing here. But, then you wonder if the Patriots are going to trade up for somebody or the Panthers. You know, the Panthers can still try to get Deshaun Watson. Are they going to trade up for somebody? Are they going to stay put at eight and try to get somebody? I don't know if I see them trading up. Yeah, I guess. I was going to say I wouldn't see the Panthers trading up because remember, if you remember, they almost had a deal done for Matt Stafford, and then all of a sudden the Rams came along, obviously, and, you know, persuaded the Lions, I suppose. So they had the deal done. So they were willing to trade for a quarterback, and they were in on Deshaun Watson. So do they – you can argue both sides here. Do they just don't like the rookie quarterbacks, like the draft? You know, they want to get one of those guys, so why would they trade up for guys that they were willing to not get before? Or you can argue they were willing to trade for that veteran because they're desperate for a quarterback, so they're going to trade up for the better quarterback, kind of like the Niners did. So Panthers will definitely be interesting. Patriots, like we mentioned, come up. There's probably going to be a surprise team in there, too, that's looking out for the future. But even the back end of the first round, I think Trask was once in the first round conversation, but that completely disappeared. I think he's completely, and you know, any mock that we've seen in the last few months never had Trask in the first. So that's kind of old news that he's completely out of the first round conversation, but I think it's kind of at a lock, point of a lock. But Kellen Mond and Davis Mills, I think they can sneak in. You know, it's lower on the percentage. My bet would be they go second round, but, you know, just take some crazy team. You know, they can sneak in the end of the first round. So, draft's less than a month away. Cannot wait for that. But, yeah, on YouTube, on the channel, I've been breaking down free agency, grading everything, telling you about my favorite signings, everything. But we haven't got to hear from Pete and Dan over here. So, I'm just curious what they got, you know, any – you don't have to give me all of this, but you know, any signings that stand out, you know, we didn't discuss this beforehand here, so putting them on the spot.
Dan and I we're thinking about right before the podcast, we're thinking about like teams. But we could go through all of it.
Well, yeah, I was saying it just any of this that you just in the top of your head, you know, teams that are winners, teams that are losers, you know, who stood out, you know, who didn't.
I'm gonna tell you my favorite move from a particular team. Their entire free agency was stellar, but two specific moves from that team, and that's the Patriots getting Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith for a quarterback who can't throw a ball to make it to his receivers, giving him two damn good tight ends. I think they're going to make it work. I think I think the Patriots are going to be pretty decent. So, like, going back to what you're saying about you don't know if the Patriots are going to try and trade up for a quarterback, I don't think they do it. I think they go all – they're going all in under Cam. If it doesn't work out, they're going to be a bad team anyway, right? But particularly getting those two as tight ends, I think it's really good. I like it. I like it a lot.
I like it a lot as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I thought there was a lot of good, like, single signings you could, like, you know, just point out. Like, a lot of just teams getting guys for cheap or, like, re-signing guys for cheap. You know, I like the Tyus Bowser deal to the Ravens. I like that it was multiple years, too. Like, a lot of the cheap deals that you see that were, like, you know, you thought were really good pickups, or a lot of them are one-year deals, and just because probably the salary cap's down, those guys are going to hit free agency again. But I thought that was a really good signing. I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of one-year signings I could point out, too, that were really good, but that one stood out to me. I'm trying to think what else. Dane, got anything else? I mean, again,
I'm thinking,
one year.
I'm not thinking of 1 year, but I'm just thinking overall players. Like, I like the John Johnson signing for the Browns. I thought he was pretty damn solid in the Rams, and that's, you know, a big need that they just filled there. Yannick Ngakoue for the Raiders. Thought that was huge because we all know their struggles with getting to the quarterback, and he's a disruptor. So I'm looking forward to seeing him under there.
Mm-hmm. I'm in agreement.
You're in agreement with all of it?
All of it. We're all on the same page here.
Pete, what's your Bud Dupree take? I got to know. From the
what's your guy. Bud? What's your Bud situation, bro?
I like Bud a lot. I think, I mean, you could take simple stats out of it, but, like, I mean, the most, this just doesn't define, you know, one guy like making such an impact, but like the Steelers were undefeated with them, and as soon as he got hurt, they went downhill. Not saying it's just one guy, but it's just kind of crazy how that.
Imagine just one guy making a change like that.
Super Bowl Titans, lock it in.
No, but
undefeated.
I just thought, I mean, he made their defense a lot better, and just just hearing his mentality of just having, you know, 11 guys that are all just, you know. They're all, I don't know, they asked him, like, if he's going to be, like, a leader. He said, like, all 11 guys should be, you know, leading and you know, trying to make plays and fire the team up. It shouldn't just be one guy. So, I feel like him bringing that mentality from Pittsburgh, like, the way their defense plays, I think that's going to be big time. Hey. But teams-wise, I don't know. There's not really that many teams that stood out. Again, I feel like there's a lot of teams that had, like, they had some good signings here, and then they had some signings that you're just like, I don't know what they're doing. But I think obviously, like, the Patriots, you could mention up being up there. Like, they had a lot of cap space. I mean, some of the deals might be a little, they gave guys a little too much money, but I mean, I thought overall
they got better.
Yeah, I know they know Bill Belichick knows what he's doing over there. Like, this is something new. Like, you've never seen them go out and spend money like this, but. He's got a lot of quality players, and he must have saw, like, here his team was lacking a lot of talent. So, and they have a lot of guys coming back that were sitting out because of COVID reasons. So, I think they could be pretty dangerous. Pretty much all depends on Cam, though, and if they get a quarterback in the draft. But I thought they could be, like, my number four team. Dan, I don't know if you have teams, too. I think you say you had four.
No, I had players. I didn't really. Have
players.
But I guess, I think, you know, the signings in general.
Yeah,
were good.
I thought the Jets had a pretty good free agency period as well. I had them at number three. I think one thing they could have done is maybe wait for Corey Davis. I don't know if he was, like, in a hurry to sign or had offers like crazy, but I mean, just looking at the receiver contracts, he's one of the highest paid, like, in the free agency class. I thought they could have maybe got him. A little cheaper, but I love Corey. I think he's really good. But they got Keelan Cole. They got Carl Lawson, who I really liked a lot. They got Sheldon Rankins. They got Marcus May back. I thought they did pretty well. I thought the two obvious ones for me were Washington. I liked what the football team did. I think getting Fitzpatrick, and then we'll see if they draft one as well. But I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be, I mean, good for that team. The defense is already loaded. They got William Jackson, who's a really good corner. And then they got Curtis Samuel as well to go with Terry McLaurin. So thought they did really well. And I think that the obvious one is the Buccaneers, you know, just getting everyone back. I think they're just right now, as of right now, I think they're the best team in the league. We got to see what happens after the draft, but when they got everyone back, they're going to run it back.
Run it back. Will the Buccaneers, since they didn't really get better, you know, they kind of got the same guys back. You could argue that they were kind of just getting better at the end of the year, though, so maybe they're just still getting going. But, yeah, do you think that's the case, or do you think that they're going to be about the same and that could hurt them in terms of the repeat there?
I think they were getting better as the season was going on. And, I mean, they didn't even have an off season, so it just took a while. I think they're going to be really good coming out of the start. It's really just, I mean, it all depends on how you finish the season, though. You got to be hot at the right time.
Hot and healthy.
Yeah, it's that hard.
Name of the podcast episode, Hot and Healthy.
You gotta. It's hard to repeat too. I mean, the Chiefs saw that. We all thought the Chiefs were just gonna, you know, go in there and just win back to back, but it just didn't happen. It's just hard to do it back to back. So we'll see what happens. But I think right now they're the favorites.
I'm gonna be the first to say, are we gonna see a Tom Brady decline this year? We've been trying to say
it every single year.
Yeah,
I mean, we kind of saw it last year a little bit, but not. He's kind of like him and Matt Ryan are in the same boat. Tom Brady's better than Matt Ryan, but like Brady is not declining with like arm strength. He's still got that touch, you know, that downfield ball. He's just maybe processing a little slower and kind of just chucks it up for grabs when he's pressured a little more than he used to, but. He's still that Brady, you know, that gets the job done at a high level.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you brought them up, but another team that I liked a lot, too, was the Broncos. Kind of like revamped that defense. Justin Simmons, Kyle Fuller. I'm sure I'm missing some people, too. But
They got Simmons back. They got Kareem Shelby Jackson Harris. Back. Yeah, they got Shelby Harris back.
Yeah, like just to revamp, like the thing about the Broncos, everyone always thinks about is their, you know, stout defense, and they had a lot of injuries last year too, but you know, they got the depth now, and their corners are already better, so we're ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what I have. I can name off like just. Guys that I like to. I mean, there's a lot of one-year deals. It's just a weird year. But I mean, some teams just got a deal on some guys. But
do we have any like who are the losers or contracts you don't like? Do you have any of that?
I mean, I don't like what the Texans are. I mean, I think the Texans are just tanking. They just got a bunch of backups. They signed so many different. I think they signed the most players out of any team. And they're all just like
one year deals.
Yeah, they're not very good guys, not very good players either. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I guess they're just tanking, but it's just a crazy situation what's going on over there with Deshaun Watson, who's arguably a top three quarterback, and you're just like not helping him at all.
What if They are tanking. They just built their team with a bunch of depth guys, basically. They're going to be starting. They let Fuller walk, yeah, all that. And Watson, they're not going to trade him. Like, that's kind of still the word. Like, they don't want to trade him. But they don't trade him. They also don't fine him, though. They don't – there's in his contract where they can fine him if he doesn't play. But they don't do that. They don't fine him. He deals with his off-the-field issues, and he sits this entire season, and they play – to Rod Taylor, and you know, maybe they throw Ryan Finley in there to secure the tank. I don't know. They trade for him for a reason. I don't know who trades for Ryan Finley, but I guess the Texans do. And they do that, and they get a top pick next year. And with that top pick, they got they got a couple options here. They can take a really good player to supply for Deshaun Watson, make the team better, and build with the other picks that they have. And maybe the cap space they have, a lot of one-year deals going out. Maybe they get compensatory pick for the year after as well. Or that's the time where they trade Deshaun Watson, because they actually may be able to get a little more because the off-the-field issues is solved, and now they actually have their own pick to take a quarterback. So, you know, everything else they get is just a bonus. And that's an idea. I don't know. But I do like the quarterbacks better in this class, and I'm, you know, next year still has to happen, but if I was going to swap Watson out for somebody else, I would want to pick this year while you have the opportunity. That's the only downside of that. But I don't know. We can keep going on with losers of free agency if you guys got them. Who are the biggest losers?
Bears. Don't even need to explain why. I'm just going to move on to the Packers. I think Packers, I don't want to call a loser because they had some cap situation, but they got two of their guys back. They got King back. They got Aaron Jones back. But they went with Mercedes Lewis when there was a pretty decent tight end free agencies out there. I'm not a Mercedes Lewis guy, and I think you still have to figure out a way to help Rodgers out.
They got Tonyan back as under a tender, so they'll have him back. But, yeah, the Mercedes Lewis one's kind of confusing to me because they didn't have much money to spend, and they spent like $4 million per year, I believe it was, around there on him. It just felt like, you know, he's solid for them. I'm not going to bash him as a player. He's been playing a long time, but it's like, you know, you had little to do, and you spent a decent chunk for 2 years on that. Like, is he going to make or break their team? They've been back-to-back NFC Championship games. You're trying to get over the hump. Get somebody. You're not going to be able to add a load of players. You only can do so much. Add somebody that is going to make that impact. So, yeah, I agree with that. That didn't really make much sense to me that they did that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's teams like where I felt like they had a chance to like get a lot better, and they just didn't really do much. I don't know. I'm not going to pick on the Titans' rivals, but like the Colts and the Jags, I mean, they both had a lot of cap space, and I didn't really like any of their – and they got some guys back, but, like, I don't know.
Well,
like,
the excuses
from, like, the Colts, like, saying they have to, you know, extend their own players. Everyone has to do that. And then Urban Meyer's, like, complaining. He's like, I wanted to meet with guys. Like, no one could meet with guys. Like, you have to, you know, scout and know the talent around the league and, you know, have a phone call with people and talk to them.
I don't really have a problem with the Jags because – you know, if you have a lot of money, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to spend it. Obviously, you want to do it. And they did spend it, actually. They've got some solid players in there. There were some I was a little confused about, but they got some solid players. You know, Shaq Griffin, Marvin Jones. They got it in more than that, but those are the ones that stand out. And they got a ton of draft picks. They got, you know, really good position in the draft. And, you know, these days, young guys are making more of an impact than ever. You know, first-year coach, you know, new staff. So it makes sense to start with the draft and save that money for, you know, maybe get some rollover money for next year, year after, then to build on top of those, you know, a little more polished rookies. So it made sense. It seemed like the Colts, yeah, I've heard that excuse getting floated around there, but I don't think the Colts themselves are actually saying that. I don't think they're saying we got to, you know, because they know how it works. They know that everyone's got to extend players. You don't need this year's money to extend players. You know, it makes no sense. They tried to get Trent Williams, so they were trying to do stuff. They're not making excuses. I think the fans that expected more are kind of making that excuse when it makes zero sense. You know, but yeah, I thought that team, the way they played against the Bills in that playoff game, I thought was fantastic. You know, I really liked the coaching staff. You know, so they had some, you know, they could have been a contender, I thought. You know, they needed some big time pieces. This team, they don't need more players, you know. They need like number one receiver, you know. You know, they kind of stayed the same, but then lost people at the same time. So yeah, I was a little confused about that. They kind of took the Jags route. What I just said about the Jags, they kind of did that early when Ballard first came in there, and it made sense. But now it just kind of turns out that he just doesn't like to spend money. You know, he just, you know, you gotta be able to make risks. You know, I think he understands talent. That's the good thing about him. But he's not trading for – that's what makes no sense. You know, he traded for Buckner last year. It's not too risky. He traded a first-round pick, though. And he traded for Wentz, but then he doesn't take any risks in free agency. I guess he's a trade risk guy. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought Oh, the Chiefs are kind of losers too. You just hear about all the guys they missed out on, and like people didn't want to, like people chose different, go different places for even less money. It's just kind of crazy. I mean, they did get Joe Tooney, they got Kyle Long, but I don't know, that tackle situation killed them in the Super Bowl. I don't know how that's gonna be solved, really.
I think Kyle Long's gonna play tackle actually, which I'm a little worried about.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of weird that no one, like a bunch of, there's a just a bunch of players that just decided not to go there when they had offers. Like individual signings, I kind of like what the Bengals did overall. Like I like they kind of let William Jackson walk, and then they got a couple other corners, Mike Hilton and Awuzie, to, you know, fill the void there, and they got him for, you know, less money than what William Jackson's getting. And like they did the same. I didn't like what they did with Carl Lawson. I feel like they should have took him back and said they got Trey Hendrickson, who's not a bad player, but I feel like, you know, you keep a guy who he even said he was listening to the Bengals first before any other team. I feel like you keep a guy like that, and rather than go out and risk and spend all that money getting a guy who had one productive season, you know? I don't know.
I think they – this is just me kind of assuming, and Bengals fans may get mad. Some might agree. I think they know they messed up there. Like, I think they had
maybe.
One – I think they know they had one of those moments where, like, shit, we should have done this, because yeah. They were in on Carl Lawson. They were trying to get him back, but other teams like the Jets were talking to him, and he ends up getting $15 million per year. So that tells us that the Jets outbid the Bengals. If the Bengals would have offered the same thing,
he would have went back.
He would have went back. And that same day, not even, you know, was it even an hour later, they get Trey Hendrickson for $15 million per year. They were talking to Lawson first, so I think they realized – you know, I think they went in panic, like, okay, we need to get a guy now. We need to get a guy. And Hendrickson drove the price up to 15, and they were like, all right, we missed out on the other one for 15. We can't do it now because we don't like the fits of these other guys. Other guys aren't as good, maybe. So they got him. And that I understand that. Like, sometimes the price gets driven up, and that makes sense. But I think they had that moment where they're like, damn, I wish we would have just gave Carl Lawson this instead of this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I it's an assumption. It's me predicting something, but I think it happened.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know. I feel like they messed up there. And there's a couple other things too. I mean, a couple other signings. Nelson Agholor. I mean, I talked about the Patriots. I thought they did a good job, but like the receiver market was pretty low, pretty cheap. They gave him a lot of money, and he had one good year. I don't know. That's pretty risky. What else? Oh, the Kenyon Drake signing I thought was terrible. I don't know. You don't pay a backup running back. Like, you always hear, like, you don't pay running backs. You don't pay a backup running back that much either. Like, I don't, you have a lot invested in the running back.
Yeah.
The running back position. You need to, and you got rid of, like, all your linemen. You need to fix that issue. And I didn't like the Leonard Floyd signing either. He got a lot of money, and he did have a good year for them. But I mean, they lost their defensive coordinator, and again, it's just a 1 year. It was a 1 year thing. I mean, you got to hope that he can reproduce that. But those are like just kind of single signings that I didn't really like.
Yeah, the Leonard Floyd one it's confusing, really. I like the way Leonard Floyd played last year. Yeah, it's a little risky, but you got to be willing to take risks. You know, he worked in your system, so I understand that. You know, why it's more so confusing than it is bad. The bad part of it, he has insane cap hits, not this year because they need to save space, but the next couple years, that's the bad part of it. But it's not overall, you know, I don't dislike Leonard Floyd. I don't dislike him with the Rams, obviously. It's more just confusing because the Rams felt like one of those teams that didn't really value the position that much because, you know, it felt like they had Dante Fowler. He was ridiculous. He was actually really good with the Rams, very productive. And then they didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to bring him back. They let him walk to the Falcons, you know, and they felt like whoever they brought in, as long as he was decent, they were going to be productive because their scheme, Aaron Donald, basically, you know, They felt like whoever was going to come in, and they turned to Dante Fowler out, and they got a third-round compensatory pick. So that was – they're one of those teams that kind of took that route. They don't value it. We turned this guy into a compensatory pick just don't value it. We can make this guy great. They kind of did it at Leonard Floyd when they brought him in. They made him look better. But then all of a sudden, they just decided to value it. Not only value, but value it an insane amount. Again, they're going to have some giant cap hits coming up next few years. So that's a lot of value there. So all of a sudden, they kind of just flipped. And teams really don't do that unless there's major. I know Brandon Staley's gone, but I don't think it was Staley, really. They kind of just were like that, you know. So I don't know. Something. They just really like Leonard Floyd. You know, they really, really like him, I guess, and they value him that much where, you know, I'm hoping Terrell Lewis, who they drafted last year, I'm hoping he gets a shot. You know, I thought he was a top 15 talent all day in that draft class. He just had major injury concerns, so that's why he went second round, which made sense. But I love that draft pick, and I think he'd be better than Leonard Floyd. So I hope he's healthy. I hope he gets a shot because that'll be a sneaky guy this year and can make the defense that much better because then they can have two solid passers. Like I'm saying, Leonard Floyd, don't love the contract, but still, he's a solid guy in that defense. But it was just more confusing that they decided to – they went from one extreme to another pretty much with the value of the edge rush position. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else we got?
I just can't wait for the draft when we start understanding what these teams are going to be doing. I don't know. We're getting there.
We are getting there. I know there's going to be surprises. A lot of people out there, I think they know exactly what's going to happen, what their team's going to do, but you don't. It's why the draft is so great.
And only the Goat House knows.
No, I don't even know. I don't know. Mocks are impossible. Unpredictable. Drafts are unpredictable. Trades are very unpredictable in the draft. You don't know what a team's thinking. You don't know how they what they see when they watch film, what traits they look for before everything else. Are they going off need? Some teams do. Not a lot of teams do. But are they going off need? Are they going off fit? Are they just getting the best possible player they can get? Does somebody surprising drop to them? Or are they just like, well, we can't pass on this guy? You know, that's just why the draft is just the greatest. Unpredictable stuff. Like this free agency was pretty unpredictable because we knew that too because we knew the 1 year deals were coming, the mass amounts of 1 year deals, and that made it it kind of made it a character thing. You know, this guy's gonna is he gonna go for the money? Is he gonna go for the 1 year deal or the higher 1 year deal? Does he want the multi year deal? Is he gonna go play for a team that's gonna win a Super Bowl? So then next year he goes for the money. Is he gonna go back to his team? So then next year he goes for the Super Bowl team or the money? You know, it was just absolutely wild, and now. Now we're getting into this wild draft with the stacked quarterback class that will shake up the draft for sure along with those trades. So, yeah, we'll have you covered for that. We're starting with that content on YouTube right now. We really got going on the content. Another mock draft coming, do member mocks. I'm excited. But, that's going to wrap up this week's podcast episode. Make sure you follow us on Twitter for updates at GoDallasNFL. But that's going to do it. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.